It is, I think, time to meet.
What did you say, boy? Nothing. You said nothing? To my mind, a silent boy is a sulky boy, an insolent boy, a boy plotting mischief.
Mr. Wackford Squeers.
What did you say to that, boy?
Of Dotheboys Hall, Yorkshire.
Nothing. Still nothing.
Schoolmaster.
Then say nothing to this.
Educator.
Found your voice at last, have you, Salmon? Well, now, be silent. How can I think with your snivelling?
What's that? A sneeze?
My God, wait till I get you back to Yorkshire. My fine young gentleman, and then I'll give you the rest.
And hold that!
London. Snow Hill. The Saracen's Head Inn sounds idyllic. It isn't. It is under Newgate walls. A crowded street, squalid, tottering houses, soup sellers, fish sellers, sellers of damaged fruit, crowds which have watched in their time, many men turned off, stepping into eternity, looking at the crowds, and finding not one face that showed pity or compassion. Snow Hill, the Saracen's Head, where the coaches depart for the north, the day of Valente, God willing. The Saracen's Head, in which Mr. Wackford Squeers contemplates the shocking lack of educational concern displayed by London parents.
Where are they all today?
Towards which Mr. Ralph Nickleby and his orphaned nephew Nicholas make their way, hoping thereby to improve the fortunes of said Nicholas, his mother, and his sister Kate, left penniless and alone.
Damn it, where are these parents?
Though no man ought to be held accountable for what he is by what he appears to be, Mr. Squeers might be considered pretty equitable in and out. He has but one eye, scorning the popular prejudice in favour of two. The eye he has, though useful, is not a pretty sight, a sort of grey-green, and somehow not quite right in shape. The other, the blind side of his face, the side sinister, is exactly that. Sinister. You would not want to be on that side of the man, or on any side of him at all. Not if you could help it. Oh, no. Not at all.
Be silent, boy, or I'll murder you!
Oh!
Silence! Enter! Mr. Squeers, I believe, sir.
Same, sir.
You did that advertised in the Times. There wouldn't happen to be boys you have about you.
I was thinking of placing...
At my school, of course, come in.
Oh, I'm still sneezing, Salmon. Never mind, never mind. Old Squeezy, who's been out for a nice hot drink, eh?
Oh, that's my dear.
Mr.
Snorley, I'm in the oil and colour business.
Of course you are, and a remarkable fine business, I'm sure it is. Your boys?
£20 per guineas. Pounds for two, Mr. Squeers.
Well, I think it could be done. No, four fives is 20. And double, and if we deduct...
Well, a pound either way shall not stand between us.
They are not great eaters.
Well, that's for that, sir. At my establishment, why? A boy's inclinations. They often take to eating nothing, they do. But we don't let them. Oh, we do not feed them up with what we do. Every wholesome luxury that Yorkshire can afford. Every beautiful morsel that Mrs. Squeers can provide. Every comfort of home that a boy could wish for will be theirs, Mr. Snorley.
I should wish their morals to be properly attended to.
We've come to the right shop for morals, sir.
If you might have a word in private.
Naturally, Mr. Snorley. If you'll send your boys out to play with this little lad here. Off you go now, Salmon. Wrap up the world, don't catch a cold. New boy's name of Salmon, Jeremy. That's his luggage. Each boy is required to bring 2 suits, 6 shirts, 6 pairs of stockings, 2 shoes, 2 hats, 1 razor.
A razor? What for?
To shave with. When the times have come.
Ah. So, up to what age do you keep them?
Just as long as the payments keep coming, or they run away. Now, Mrs. Snawley, let us understand one another. These boys, from the look of them, they are not, as it were, your natural children.
No, they ain't. They are my stepsons. I have married their mother. Exactly. She has a little fortune of her own. Small, but, well, yeah, I fear that as women will. So very foolish they can be, Mr. Squeers. She might wish to squander it upon the
boy. Ruinous to a boy's character, squandering.
And this has made me anxious to put them to some school. A good way out.
Yes?
No holidays. None of that unsettling coming home twice a year.
Educationally most unsound holidays.
Somewhere they can enjoy the rough and tumble.
Payments regular, no questions asked.
And morals strictly attended to.
Strictly?
And not much writing home, I hope.
A circular at Christmas. Otherwise...
splendid buddy gal.
This is doing business, and that is what I like. Oh, do I see another customer?
You will excuse me, then, and I believe the...
Your little boy is in my care, of course. Good day to you, sir. And why good day to you, Mr. Nickleby.
Ralph Nickleby ushers his nephew into the room as the other gentleman, as it were, slinks out, face averted, not wishing, for some reason of his own, to be recognised by the man of business.
Won't you be seated, gentlemen?
Mr. Squeers, this is my nephew, Nicholas.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Why, young sir, a pleasure to meet you. Your uncle and I are known to each other, he having acted as agent in placing a child at my academy some years ago.
With the parents of a boy named Docker.
Who, unfortunately...
died. That'd do the boy's fall, haven't you?
Oh, Mrs. Squeers was desolate. Doted on that boy, she did. Couldn't do enough for him. Candle in his room the night he died. Dry toast, warm tea, no expense spared.
Suppose we come to business.
That's the stuff. That's what I like.
It's brief enough, soon reached, and as easily concluded.
Go on, sir.
You advertise for an assistant.
Precisely so.
And you really want one?
Certainly.
Then here he is, my nephew Nicholas, the man you want.
I'm afraid the young man won't suit me.
But, sir, Mr. Squeers, how can
won't
you...
Won't suit you, Squeers. I know better, I think.
Perhaps you object to my youth, or am I not being a master of arts?
That is a problem. Here you have a youth of,
18, sir, and willing, and...
His father is dead, he's wholly ignorant of the world, has no resources, and wants something to do.
I do. Want something to, do, that is, I...
This opening could lead him to fortune. You see that?
Everybody would.
I certainly do.
He will not let you down.
How may I be sure? He is very young.
Maintenance of his mother.
My dear mother and dear Kate, I would not let them down for the whole world. Mm.
2 words with you, Squeers. Over here.
Nicholas watches with a certain apprehension as his uncle and the rather odd-looking... But he reflects, why should not Mr. Squeers look odd? Many of these gents in the teaching line, these bookworms, look a little odd. And besides, here he comes with a smile. A sort of a smile, at least Nicholas supposes it to be a smile upon his odd face.
Your uncle has done it for you, sir.
Uncle, how can I thank you, Mr. Squeers?
Coach leaves at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Be there.
Fare's paid. You only have to keep yourself warm. I shall be there to see you away, so no skulking. Oh,
thank you, sir. I shall never forget this kindness.
I dare say you will not.
Remember now, the coach leaves at 8.
I shall be there. Never fear.
Nicholas is as good as his word. And next morning he is seated on top of a coach flying north towards... Well, if all were that simple and easy, there would be no story. To tell the truth, Nicholas made a sad supper with his mother and sister Kate that night, though all three of them were pretending might and main to be jolly and, in truth, were almost choking as they forced down the food. In the morning, Nicholas was away at 6, not waking the others, only pausing to say a word to Miss La Creevy, encountered upon the stairs.
Yorkshire, this morning, my mother and my sister, please, Miss La Creevy.
Oh, Miss Nicholas!
God bless you!
A word that reassured Nicholas that if nothing else, his mother and sister would have at least one well-intentioned eye upon them. For though she cares about the loss of rents, Miss La Creevy has a heart also, and in it keeps a certain regard for the Nickleby family. And so to the coach.
Mr. Nickleby there! Sir!
Must find him! Yes, must find him!
Mr. Nicholas Nickleby! Oh, such a crowd! Such a set too! Make way! Make way there!
In the coachyard of the Saracen's Head, he is accosted by a stranger, one who announces himself as Mr. Newman Noggs, clerk to Ralph Nickleby. A gentleman. Well, once a gentleman, and now a clerk. A tall, thin fellow with a drinker's nose and the habit of cracking his finger joints. Having come down in the world, he serves his employer for rather less than the usual wages of a boy of 13, and has, over the years, developed a deep and abiding hatred of Mr. Ralph Nickleby.
Are you Mr. Nicholas Nickleby?
I am, sir. Do you have a message from my uncle?
Yeah. From him? Never. From me. Take it. Read it. Nobody knows.
Wait a moment. Who are you? What do you want?
The letter. For you. Read it. That's all.
And Mr. Noggs is, in an instant, lost in the crowd. And not many instants later, Nicholas, too, is, Deo Valente, God willing, on his way to a new life in Yorkshire.
What a very strange fellow, that Nog. Well, no matter. If it is a letter, then it should be read. What else is a letter for?
My dear young man, I know the world. Your father did not, or he would not have done me a kindness when there was no hope of return. You do not, or you would not be bound on such a journey. If you ever want shelter in London, they know where I live at the Crown in Golden Square. Ask for Noggs. Only. P.S. If you should go near Barnet Castle, there is good ale at the King's Head. Say you know me, and I'm sure they will not charge you for it. You may say Mr. Noggs, for I was a gentleman then. I was indeed.
Wake up there, Nickleby.
Oh, Mr. Squid, I was just
dreaming. Oh. I'm not attending to these boys. If one of them should fall from the coach, there's 20 guineas lost. And any man that loses Wackford Square's 20 guineas, or 20 pennies for that matter. Why, God help him!